Please, and turn to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 5 and read through the end of the chapter. Starting in verse 5, it says, "And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Syrians, and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, who said, 'We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God.' And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council, and set up false witnesses, which said, 'This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us.'" Verse 15, "And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel." Let's pray. Father, this morning, as we look into your word, I pray, Father, that you would give me boldness to proclaim your word, that you would give me the very words to speak this morning. I pray, Father, each one of us have come looking to hear from you, looking to meet with you today. And I pray, Father, that I would just be the messenger and that the message would be from you. I pray, Father, as we listen intently on your word, that you would have our undivided attention. And I pray now that you'd be glorified in all that's said and done, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This word, suborned, here, in the legal sense, is to procure a person who will take a false oath. Just in case, you know, that's a different word. We don't hear it very often, so I want you to know what it means. And so Stephen's ministry was like that of a meteor. It came on the scene flying through the night sky. It was very brief but brilliant. It was also bright, powerful, and spectacular. We don't have a lot about him, don't have a lot of background about him, but his name means crown. And Stephen, one day, obviously, when he went to heaven, he got a crown in heaven, the martyr's crown, and he was faithful to his ministry even unto death. Not a pastor, he wasn't an apostle, he was simply a layman who served. Some people say, well, I haven't been called to pastor a church or be a missionary or be an evangelist or anything, so there's really nothing I can do. Stephen didn't see it that way. Stephen saw that there was always something that everyone can do. In fact, God's called us to be about his business, right? So it doesn't matter who you are, if you're a child of God, you have something that you can be doing. And Stephen took it to heart. He proceeded to be about his father's business. He took it very seriously, and we should as well. Some people have a tendency to not take the work of God seriously. The call of God on people's lives. Now, once you've been saved, people say, well, I've never had a call on my life. God called you. He set you apart. He has something for you to do. I don't care what it is. There's something that God has for you to do. I've had people come up to me and they'll ask me, Pastor, what is it that God wants for me to do? Have you read the book? Have you been in the Bible? Have you prayed about it? Have you listened intently to what God has for you? Because I'm going to tell you right now, like I tell a lot of people, God doesn't always tell me what he wants you to do. And that could be you instead of pointing anybody individually. He doesn't do that necessarily. He tells me what he wants me to do. And I have no problem praying for you. In fact, I pray for everybody every day. It's important we pray one for another. So we need to do that. But there's something that God has for you to do, just like he had something for Stephen to do. And Stephen was faithful all the way unto death. He never quit. He never gave up. The Bible tells us clearly that we are to be found faithful. Not start faithful, not be found halfway through the mark faithful, but be found faithful when Jesus Christ comes again, that trumpet sounds and we're out of here. Are we going to be found faithful? Or are we going to give up? Too many people throw in the towel and they give up because they go, I'm too old. I can't do anything. Well, there's days when you might feel too old that you can't do anything, but get up and do something. We can all pray, right? How much effort does it take to pray? I got to get breath in and I got to get breath out. Okay. How much effort does it take to pray? We can all pray. How much effort does it take to talk to somebody? We can all share the gospel, right? How about tracts? Church tracts. Pass them out. Give them away. That's what they're there for. Reach as many people as you can with the gospel while we have time. Stephen was someone that was filled with the Holy Spirit. He didn't just have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had him. And he was willing to be used of God. The Holy Spirit, upon salvation, becomes a resident, takes up residency. But he wants to be more than that. He wants to control your life. He wants to be the one that we call on. He wants all control, by the way, not just partial control. He wants all control. We like to have control, though. We don't like to give somebody else control, right? You know how I know that? Just sit in the passenger seat while somebody else is driving. Right? We have to have control. We feel safer when we've got the hands on the wheel, right? We want to be in control. The Holy Spirit says, just give the wheel back to me and let me be the one in control. And then follow. There's four words in the Bible that describe Stephen. They describe his spirituality. Being spiritual, it's a lot easier to talk the talk than to walk the walk. There's a lot of people that will tell you how spiritual they are. Sounds good, right? But you scratch the surface a little bit and you find out how spiritual they really are. We're supposed to be walking the walk. We can tell people whatever we want them to hear, right? But are we backing it up with our walk? Talk is cheap, as I've said many times. Stephen's spirituality ran deep, ran very deep. It was manifested in his life in a tangible way, and here's four of them. Number one, faith. In verse 5 of our text, said, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Stephen had faith. He had faith. So where did he get this faith? Where did Stephen get his faith? The Bible's very clear. The only way any of us can get faith is from the Word of God. From the Word of God. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, turn over there real quick if you would, please. Keep your hand in Acts because we're coming back. Romans 10, 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So where is he going to get it from? The word of God. The fact that he was a man of faith tells us three things about Stephen. He read his Bible. He studied his Bible. And he memorized his Bible. Stephen spent a lot of time making sure that he was walking with God, that he was able to be used of God, because that was his heart's desire. The evidence that we see of all that is in chapter 7, which, here it is, the homework assignment, right? Read chapter 7. Take some time and read chapter 7. He preaches an impromptu sermon with no notes. He preaches the whole thing completely from memory. He gives the entire history of Israel from Abraham to Moses. He goes from Egypt and slavery to the wilderness, the promised land. He goes through all of that. He knew where Abraham was buried. He goes through all of that stuff. Now, I'm just talking about this broadly because you can do that homework assignment later. But he gave this lengthy sermon. I would say that Stephen had to know the Bible. He had to know what he was talking about to be able to know all of that stuff, right? How do you do that from memory unless you've spent time in the Word of God? How do you remember those things that so when you need them unless you've spent time in the Word of God? I've said over and over and over, we need to spend time daily in the Word of God because we need spiritual food. If it goes from here to here, when we need it, it can be recalled here. It's hard to recall something that was never there. I know I say that a lot, but pretty soon everybody will get the message and they'll know that they got to get it in here so that it can be recalled, so it can go back out. And we need that. We need to be in the Word of God. Stephen was in the Word of God. He loved God. And we should too. So he got his faith. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We have all these things that he did. Now may I remind you that you are not truly spiritual if your Bible is collecting dust Sunday to Sunday. Not happening. If this thing is sitting on the shelf or on the table or wherever, back seat of the car for all I know, right? And collecting dust, you're not very spiritual. We need to be in the Word of God daily. Stephen, I believe, was one that was in the Word of God daily. David said in Psalm 119:16, I will delight myself in thy statutes, I will not forget thy word. We got to spend time in the Word if we want to remember the Word. We're to study the Word, right? Brother Fred even brought this out in Sunday school time. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved, a workman unto God, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's in there, it's just got to come out, right? And so we need to be doing that. We need to be studying it. We need to memorize it. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We need to be memorizing it. We need to have it. Then Stephen had a second trait, wisdom. Wisdom. In verse 10 of our text, Acts chapter 6 and verse 10, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. We know where he got his faith, the word of God. Where did he get his wisdom? It from some college books or Bible school or any of that? No, that's not where he got it. He got his wisdom from the Spirit of God in prayer. If any man lack wisdom, what are we supposed to do? Pray, and God will give it to you sparingly? No. He's just going to pour it out, right? Ask for wisdom and you get it. Praise the Lord, right? One of my favorite things to pray for is wisdom. We need to. We need it. So if any of us lack wisdom, just pray. Since we know he was a man of wisdom, we can automatically assume he was a man of prayer. So Stephen was a man of prayer. We need wisdom every day. You need it for your marriage. You need it for your finances. You need it for your work, your ministry, your children. Anything that comes along, we need wisdom. We need it big time. So ask, and ye shall receive. I like this thing I came across the other day. A man called the doctor about getting an appointment from his Uncle Harvey. He He says, I know your Uncle Harvey, he's a hypochondriac. He'll be fine. Well, okay. He says, but he seems to have a problem. And the guy says, he thinks he's sick. So, 2 weeks later, same thing. Calls the doctor and says, Uncle Harvey is sick, needs to be seen. He says, same thing. He's a hypochondriac. He thinks he's sick. The doctor sees him about a month later and he says, how's your Uncle Harvey doing? He says, we had his funeral last week. He thinks he's dead. That was a man that was seeking some help and didn't get any, right? I have to tell you, whatever we are facing, do not try to face it alone. We can go and we can ask. If we need wisdom, we can ask for it. And God will give it to us. Number three, he had power. In verse 8 of our text, it says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. This tells us he was a man of purity. The Bible says he gives that spirit of power to them that obey. Man obeyed. God does not desire to fill a dirty vessel. It's like putting a clean hand in a dirty glove, right? I did that several times yesterday. You don't want to do that, right? Hand comes out and it's dirty. Don't want to do that. But God will be there to fill us. So we need to confess our sin. We need to keep a very short account with God. I get it. When you're first saved, you get that all-over cleansing, right? But we need that feet washing thing. Because we're walking through this world. We need to keep a very short account with God. Grace was the fourth thing Stephen had. In verse 15 of our text, it says, all that sat in the council looking steadfastly on him saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Wow. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, right? God gives us that gift. Stephen had experienced saving grace. John Newton was a drunken slave trader when he came to know the Lord. And after he came to know the Lord, he wrote, Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. That is saving grace. And every born again Christian has experienced it. I don't care who you are, you've been born again, you have experienced saving grace. Thank God for saving grace. Thank God for saving grace that's available to whosoever. To whosoever. There's another kind of grace available, not to lost sinners, but only to children of God, and that is sustaining grace. Sustaining grace. Turn over to 2 Corinthians. Keep your hand in Acts, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. Second Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. It is the grace that holds you up during times of trial, sorrow, loss, you name it, all of those things, grief, temptation, all of these things that we go through, stress, pressure, all of those things, this will sustain you during those times. His grace that keeps you going when you do not think you can keep going. Holds you up when you think that you can no longer hold up. Sets you apart when you are about to come apart. And Stephen had it as he was under fire from this council. He's in trouble, a lot of trouble, standing on trial. And what did they say? The Sanhedrin accused him of blasphemy. Stephen knew that that was punishable by death. He knew that. He knows they treated Jesus, how they treated Jesus. They know that this whole thing, he says, this can't turn out good for me. It just can't. Look at what I'm being accused of. Look at who's accusing me. This isn't looking good, right? But he didn't give in. He stares death in the eye. He stares it in the eye, and he has the face of an angel, it says. Amazing. That's the face of perfect peace. See, Stephen even knew he was facing death, but he had total peace. Only God can give you that, by the way. Only God can give you that. Jesus will not keep the storms out of your life. That's why I have a problem with preachers that tell you get saved and your life is just hunky-dory the whole rest. That is a lie from the pits of hell. He will not remove the storms, but He'll go through the storms with you. And I tell you, He'll give you peace during your storms. Don Moen wrote, "He giveth more grace. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, He addeth His mercy. To multiple trials, He multiplies peace. His love has no limit, His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again." The more you need, the more you get. That's God. That's how He works. And then dying grace. Dying grace. Many people fear death. They just fear death. It's amazing how many people that I've had the experience to be with as they come to the end of their life. And many people fear death. But you know something I found? When I'm sitting next to somebody while they're lying in that bed and death is knocking at the door and they're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, I never hear him say, "I'm afraid to die." What I've heard over and over and over is, "I'm ready to go see Jesus." Wow. How amazing. A friend of mine, actually, he passed away 4 years ago, coming up in a few days. He found out that there was nothing they could do with it for him. He was going to die. He grabbed his phone and started telling everybody he was going to be with Jesus. Praise the Lord. Right? How would you react if somebody told you you're dying in a few days? On Wednesday, they told him, when he asked about his dialysis on Friday, they said, "You won't need dialysis on Friday." He said, "If I don't have dialysis on Friday, I'll die." Said, "That's what we're telling you. You won't need dialysis on Friday." Picked up his phone and started calling everybody he knew. "I'm going to be with Jesus," just calling to say goodbye. See, the child of God doesn't have to fear death. Dying grace. Dying grace. Turn to Acts chapter 7. That's why I told you to stay in your point. We're going to look at verses 54 through 60. Starting in verse 54 of Acts chapter 7. "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, 'Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God.' Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. You can see it all over his face. Dying grace. Dying grace. You saw it on the face of Jesus at the cross. In the midst of all that suffering, he said, Father, forgive them. And he also said, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Sometimes it takes grace to accept what God gives. So Stephen, a man of faith, a man of faith, a man of the Word of God, reading, studying, memorizing, there was a price to pay. Stephen paid that price. Wisdom through prayer, there was a price to pay. Power through purity, there was a price to pay. Grace, here's the good part. It was free. You can't earn it. You can't pay for it. No price to pay. Not us. But Jesus paid the price for our grace. Jesus paid it all. Excuse me. All to him I owe. So you need more faith. You need to get into your Bible. Need wisdom. Repent of prayerlessness and ask for it. Ask for it. Isn't it amazing how God just gives it if we just ask? The Bible says you have not because you ask not. So ask. God, I need wisdom. I need wisdom. And God will give it to you. God will give it to you. Those of us who know Christ as Savior, we may be needing sustaining grace in whatever we're going through right now. There's all kinds of things happening in different people's lives. We may need some sustaining grace right now. Ask. Ask. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you need saving grace. Saving grace. And you know what's great about that? All you have to do is ask. Ask the Lord Jesus Christ. Can't buy it. I already told you that. It's free. The best gift of all is free to you and I. Cost God the Father His very best. His only begotten Son. But to you and I, it's free. Don't get to the end of your life and be terrified of death. Be like Stephen and have that dying grace when it comes time. Because God wants every one of us to have that. The Bible tells us clearly that it's His desire that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So if you're here today and you haven't accepted that free gift, we're going to have a time of invitation where you could come and accept that free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you're here and you know the Lord is your own personal Savior, if you need wisdom, just ask. Just ask. He's ready to give it to you. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the life of Stephen. Even though we don't know a lot about it, it wasn't a lengthy life, lots that we have recorded about it, but we do have enough that we can see in his life a life that we should want as well, a life where we would be about our Father's business, where we would be about seeking you and the wisdom that we need. and that saving grace, that dying grace, that sustaining grace. So, Father, as we have this time of invitation, turn the service over to you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You'll stand with me if you're able. No one looking around as the piano plays. If you need to come, you come this morning. The altar's open.